Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you never know. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, God in the valley, when things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, the God of when you're up on the mountain. The talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley, trials and temptations, that's where you'll face the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the
Amen. Dr. Ventura coming to you live, the Sound Doctrine Broadcast. Coming live from Imperial Beach, California. Oh, I want to thank the listeners for joining us this evening on Ladies Christian Night. Amen. I want to thank you all for your support for the past week and the week before and all weeks that have come by. We're just grateful for the time you've given us to serve you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight we're going to do a little split program. Marilyn and I are going to bring you ladies' night tonight. Sister Joanna is doing something important for the Lord this evening. So what we're going to do is we're going to just kind of have a little discussion here about one of the ladies in the Bible. That's what we're here to study, is ladies' things, and it's Christian Women's Night. So before we get down to studying some of these things about Christian women, well, let's have a prayer, and we'll get this together. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness and your gentleness and for all the things that you help us do, Lord, and for helping us to grow in Jesus Christ and for this program and for all the women that you've touched their hearts in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that we've learned over time is that women of the Bible can be good examples or they could be bad examples, but they're examples, and that's an important thing. And we study these things, and they're important to know for women. Amen? One of the things that we often talk about in our churches is women's dress. And those types of things, and how women should behave and how men should behave. And one of the things I'd like to talk about tonight is one of the characters of the Bible. And one of the women's characters of the Bible that I'd like to talk about this evening is the widow of Zarephath. She was a helpless widow and a hospitable woman. And we're going to look at a little scripture together, and we'll talk about it. Helplessness and hurting, women in the Bible, helplessness and hurting. And so she was a helpless widow, but she was also a very hospitable woman. Her husband was deceased. She had one son. She took care of the house, and her name means name unknown. Unknown. Imagine that, having a name that means unknown. And to cover some of the background on this, we find that at this time the nation of Israel was under God's judgment, and because of wicked rulers. Prophet Elijah had, he'd experienced a great victory over Ahab and Jezebel and all the prophets of Baal up there on Mount Carmel. And the prophet Isaiah had predicted, drought in the land, a terrible drought. And God directed him to the book of Cherith. And there he was supposed to get some rest. And the brook eventually dried up, and God told him to go to Zarephath, a city of Zidon. And so when he got there, it was a seacoast town. It's actually somewhere on the northeast of the Sea of Galilee, somewhere along the Mediterranean. And it was known for special things. It was known for its pottery and for its handcrafts, purple dye and metal goods and olive oil and those type of things. And you can find that if you have an Unger's Guide dictionary. You can look in page 1378. But Zidonians were also known for their handcraft. And remember, Jezebel was from Zidon. She was a Zidonian. And what a wicked woman she was. But in Zidon, they produced, embroidered clothing and beautiful vases and bowls and types of things for the home. And we learn from the Bible that their ships were known best, as an armada for King Artaxerxes. And archaeologically speaking, the excavations that we have discovered to this day reveals that the people who lived in the town, they worshipped Astarte, or the goddess of fertility. And it was in this atmosphere, you know, this wicked pagan town, that God, you know, shows his great love and mercy. And he had already prepared the heart of a widow lady who was going to care for Elijah. And you say, well, that's normal for God to do such a thing. Well, yes, but it was a refuge. It was a refuge. Elijah, you know, was in the homeland of his worst enemy, Jezebel. She was a Zidonian. Her father was a priest in a pagan religion. And though we never learn this woman's name, we do learn some things about her and get some insight about Christian life, or rather life that we can apply to our Christian lives. She's the type of the Gentiles to, you know, who the prophet was originally sent to, a widow. And she had a dying son. And so if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, we'll read a little bit about this. And that's really, we're going to come primarily from 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'll give you a moment to get there. First Kings 17, verse 10 says, speaking of the prophet Elijah, let's go up to verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Amen? Make for thee and for thy son. And so we find out that, you know, the first test the prophet gives her, he gets there, and the widow tells him the situation. Hey, listen, we're starving to death. That's really what she's saying. That's what we would say today. I'm starving to death, and I have one son, and he's starving to death. And we're going to make whatever we can to eat, and then we know we're going to die because there's nothing left. But Elijah, you know, he told her, don't be afraid, but bake him a small cake first. Now imagine that. Bake him up. You know, hey, Elijah's probably looking pretty good. He was healthy. He was down by the river. He was relaxed. He was resting. And he shows up at this widow's house. They're starving to death. And he tells her, you know, well, make me a cake first. And really, this is a test of faith for this woman. And the test concerned her present and daily physical needs, her immediate physical needs. And Elijah had promised her that she'd have enough of meal and oil until the Lord sent rain. Well, nobody really knew how long this would be. She didn't know. And but what did she have to lose? She had nothing to lose. Amen. The scripture tells us that she went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. We get down to verse 13 to 15. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So we see the first miracle involved here in verses 15 to 16. It says, according to Scripture, well, they ate many meals. They had many meals for quite a while. And so God proved his abundance of power and provision for this woman. You know, kind of like when the Israelites were out in the wilderness and his promise was fulfilled. That barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, it didn't run out. And I would imagine that, you know, her reward was greater than her service. She served the Lord, and God rewarded her above and beyond what she had believed to even be possible. Remember the widow who gave the mite. It was her last mite, and Jesus said she gave all that she had. And so, you know, the truth of the matter is, you cannot outgive God. You just can't outgive the Lord. Hold on. It just doesn't happen. Some people think that, well, you know, they give a lot, and that's quite a bit, but really, we talked about this in our own church, about the giving to the Lord. And how much are we really giving? You know, are we giving out of our abundance, or are we giving out of a little? What we really don't have, but we're willing to share it with the Lord. Amen. Over in the book of Malachi, the Lord talks about giving, and he talks about you can't outgive him. You can't outgive the Lord. Amen? The Lord's we serve a mighty God. He's the Son of Righteousness. And there's no outgiving the Lord God. And you, when you give with your heart, as this woman did, she gave and she just believed the man of God. You know, that's a problem in some of the churches today. Some of you women just won't believe God. And you won't listen to the pastor. The pastor tells you clearly something to do and that God has made this promise. And you don't accept what the Lord's saying. Instead of just accepting it and moving forward and believing and standing on it. He says, bring me all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Amen? Listen, you can't outgive God. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. So we see that first miracle. But if we look over here in Kings chapter 7, 1 Kings 17, verses 21 to 24, talks about Elijah, and he stretched himself upon the child. Well, what happened? Well, what we had happened was that the child, the only child of this woman, died. Now, here God blessed her. And everything was fine. And Elijah, you know, he let's read on from verse 17. It says, and it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Hey, what I did what you told me to do, and look what happened to my son. That's really what she's saying. And then she says, art thou come on to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. Amen. You notice up there in verse 23 something? He stretched out himself upon the child three times and cried upon the Lord. Isn't three the number of the Trinity? Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Whew. I'll say there's some wisdom in there. There's some wisdom there. And so that's really a great example on Elijah's part of intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. He stretched himself upon the trial, and he cried. And, you know, in this widow's life, it seemed to be really a turning point, because now she's admitting, hey, you are a man of God. And I imagine in this pagan society, they had seen much witchcraft and that type of thing. And so, you know, having a barrel of crude produced from oil might not have seemed to be a big thing to the woman, although it was in that it saved her life. But the problem is that, you know, we receive blessings from the Lord, and then what happens in time is that we forget those blessings, and we start to lose faith in the things that we're supposed to have faith in. And we take for granted the former blessings that we had already received from the Lord. And they seem to fade in our memory and in our lives. And so now God revives that faith within this woman by giving another miracle and bringing her son to life. And she becomes someone who is now praising God. And she knows that her Creator, you know, is like a husband to her. Isaiah 54:5 says, "For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, he shall be called." Amen? And so, you know, what you really conclude from such a short lesson here is that we learn that God's omnipresence, his omnipotence, and his provisions, you know, we see that throughout this whole story. And she was the first Bible woman to have her son restored to life. Did you know that? And God demonstrated his grace by extending his mercy. And she was a Gentile. She wasn't even a Jew. And there's similarities if you study between her and Rahab. You know, they were both heathen. They were pagans. And they were Gentiles. But they both helped men of God. Rahab was a harlot. And you know what? She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Who would have believed that? And both of them were unsaved. And both helped men of God. Both exhibited faith. Both trusted in this Lord that they didn't even know. And you know what? God saved them, spared their lives. And you can find Rahab written in Hebrews chapter 11. And so, really, the attention was focused on what the widow did rather than who she was. You know why? Because we don't even know her name. God doesn't reveal her name in Scripture. All we know is that there was a widow, a woman. And God thought her actions and her testimony was enough to even put her in Luke. Go with me over there, would you please, to Luke chapter 4 for a minute. Luke chapter 4. If you're new to the Bible, it's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And so you want to go to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to get there with you. Luke chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Look who we find there. There now. Luke chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months." There was, you know, and Elijah had prophesied about this drought. "When great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Amen? See? And so there she is. She's mentioned in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke. This widow. We don't know her name. So what God's telling you and I is he wasn't interested in who she was as much as what she did. Her faith and works were commended. And you know what the story is? The story is really about, when you study this woman's life, the story is how sharing with others greatly helps or enriches one's life. You know, giving is one of the most blessed things that we can do, to give from the heart, not grudgingly. Paul says that we should not give grudgingly. Sometimes we give things and we really don't want to. You know what? It's better to keep it to you than not give it at all, because your heart's not right, and God doesn't approve of that. And you're not going to receive a blessing out of that either. Amen? It's the truth. We have an elderly woman in the church, and she's on a little Social Security, and she doesn't have a lot of money, and she has quite a few bills and some medical bills, and yet she gives her recyclable bottles. Amen? And that's a big deal for her, because that's extra money to that woman. And if I said to her, no, sister, keep it, she would be angry with me, because she would say, I want to give what I can to the Lord, because her heart is a willing heart to give. And who would I be not to take that gift? Because I would be taking her blessings away. And God was going to bless her. He said, you can't outgive him. And so God honored this woman's obedience. And her rewards, they certainly were greater than, you know, her service. Amen? And that's we learned that too in our Christian walk. Listen, everything's not a blessed day. Not every woman has the ideal husband in all situations. Not every husband has an ideal wife. And not every woman's living in an ideal world. But service to the Lord is important. And your rewards are greater. Sure, we suffer tribulation as Christian men and women. And we suffer as in our Christian walk. And the temptations to dress like the world and to think like the world and to the pleasures of the world for a woman. You know, today's society is the philosophy brutal. Do you see the examples that are set for our children? Women that call themselves women and they're not, you know, back when I was a child, you know, Leave It to Beaver style things where your mom was dressed in a proper dress. And even the Brady Bunch, if you remember that program, mom and dad slept in single beds. They weren't in the same bed together. And a toilet wasn't even shown on television for many years. And so we become an unmoral society. But God blesses morality. And God wants his children to be holy and his women to be holy and to dress holy. And people say, well, what is our nakedness? Well, nakedness, the Bible says, is your hips and your thighs. And so, you know, dress modestly. And your service to the Lord is going to be rewarded. And you say, well, I do all those things, and I dress properly, and I'm just not seeing the blessings. Well, hold on. Well, wait. Wait on the Lord. Marilyn says, what did you say, Marilyn?
Wait on the Lord.
Amen. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, it's not always easy. But if you'll allow God to take care of you and to provide for you as he did for this widow, then you know what? God will use you to minister to others. For maybe he wants you to minister to the man of God in your life, to your preacher, your Sunday school teacher, the bus captain, the deacon. And maybe the Sunday school teacher, the Sunday school class. And if you just do those things, God's going to bless you. You say, well, I don't have much to offer. Well, you know what? Just getting on the bus with a busload of children is a blessing. The first time I rode a bus was with the White Oak Baptist Church in Stratford, Connecticut. And the deacon was Jim Owens. And we rode the bus together, and I sat towards the back of the bus. I had never been on a bus as a Christian. I had never seen a bus ministry. And just to ride there and hear the children sing and laugh and to know that there was an adult sitting in the back, I didn't do anything, but it helped keep order on the bus just because they knew there was an adult sitting there. And you know who got blessed? I got blessed. It was a blessing for me to hear the children sing and the bus captain lead them in songs. Amen. And here I am, I think I'm going to be a blessing to them, but God was blessing my heart. Well, I can't, I don't,
I don't ride buses well. Well, can you set up a chair? Can you ask the pastor if there's something you can do? Can you vacuum a floor? Can you dust? Can you lead a little one to the class? So you can do something. And here's this poor widow. She's at the point of starvation. There's a 3-year drought going on. There's no food to eat. She's gathering 2 little sticks she found. And she's going to make a cake, and her son are going to eat it and die. That's her mindset. Hey, listen, we're done. We're finished. We can't go on. We're going to starve to death anyway. So let's enjoy this piece of cake for ourselves, and that's it. And then the Lord comes along and sends a man of God into their lives, and why don't you share what you have, that little bit that you have? And then we find out that cruse of oil, every time she went back there when it should have been empty, it was full. And the meal, every time it was empty, it should be full. And you know what that cruse of oil represents, really? It represents the Holy Spirit in a person's life. You talk about the anointing of a king, and they poured the oil on his head. The Psalms talks about the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, and it blessed him. It was an anointing from God, that oil. And that's a type of Holy Spirit in your life. And that meal is a type of grain. And it's a type of bread. And Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And God sustained that bread of life for her. And the bread of life is Jesus Christ in your life. And you need to reach out and grab some of that bread of life. Read the Word of God. Eat the Word of God. Amen? And God will keep your cruse full. You'll be full of the Holy Spirit. And God will meet your needs. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that I've never seen the true holy Christians, and I'm paraphrasing, starving in the streets. It just doesn't say that, Psalms. And so when it encouraged Elijah to be blessed that this woman who was at her last would take that step to make a cake for Elijah with the last of her cake. And she just had faith. Hey, this is a man of God, and I'm going to believe what the man of God says. And you know you do it. Because I've done it. We all do it. We hear the preacher preach the sermon. We don't do what the preacher says. We don't take heed to it. We don't even believe our own preacher sometimes. And then what happens is a guest preacher comes and he preaches the same thing and you get it. And you say, wow, why did I have to wait to get it? Amen? And so here this Gentile woman gets blessed. We really don't even know who she was. We just know that what she did. And it's a blessing. And you know what? The widow never lived in her life to look back and say, I'm sorry I gave Elijah that blessing. Amen. She understood something. She built her faith. She was there when Elijah needed her. And so my question to you is, you know, will you be there when you're a preacher or someone in your church needs you? Our problem is that we're so wrapped up in our own materialistic lives that we won't go that extra mile. We're going to go to bed. We're tired. Our day is done. We've worked all day. We've toiled all day. We dealt with our own problems all day. And now I have opportunity to minister to others, but I'm thinking of myself. I'm not going to make that phone call. You know, one phone call can change a person's life. Just to let somebody know that you love and care for them. Ladies, I'm talking to you ladies in the church. You need to call each other. You don't have to plan to spend hours on the phone. We're not talking about gossiping and lollygagging and getting out. We're talking about being a blessing to somebody. Calling up, hello, sister, how are you? I just wanted you to know I had a few minutes today out of my very busy schedule. You were on my heart, and I just wanted to call and let you know that I'm thinking of you. You're in my prayers, and I love you. Is there something special I could pray for you? Okay, well, thank you so much. I'm glad you told me that. And like I said, I'm very busy. I do have to run, but I will keep you in my prayers, and God bless you, and I love you. Hey, that changed a whole person's life. That'll give somebody encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
This woman had some character traits. She was a hospitable woman. She didn't turn him away. She cooperated with what he said. She wasn't selfish. She was generous. And she was obedient to the word of God. And yet she was a wife, a mother, a servant, a provider. I mean, she's out there looking for two sticks to make meal for her son. And yeah, sure, her faith was shooken. She had seen the miracles, and she thought every day of her life would be a miracle. And then trouble came. And what did she do? She questioned Elijah. She said, you know, what did you do? You know, Elijah probably was just as shocked as she was. He didn't know the child was going to die. But the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things, after that cruse of oil, and after the meal was there, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, she fell sick. And he was sick, that child. And it was the grievous sickness. It says, the Bible says, the sickness was so sore. It was terrible to watch. And then his breath left him. He couldn't even breathe. He died. And she turned to Elijah. Her faith was shooken. And she said, what am I to do with you? Hey, what am I going to do with you? Are you a man of God or what? That's really what she's saying. She said, oh, thou man of God? Art thou coming to call my sins? Hey, are you bringing judgment on me? Did you come here so that God would punish me for my sins? She had a guilty conscience, you know. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ. I know when the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I confess that I'm a sinner and I come to the cross of Jesus Christ, I know all my sins are forgiven. And I don't carry a guilty conscience for my past sins. I know they're forgiven in the eyes of God. And the playing field's level now. And I won't show up at a judgment later and have to explain all my sins because they're under the blood of Jesus. But she had been a wife, and now she suffered widowhood. She had already lost a husband, so she understood what the loss of a husband was. And now she was going to lose a son. And if you've ever lost a son or a daughter, you understand. One thing my mother said when we buried my brother, he was only 52. My mother said, son, a mother should never have to bury their children first. Amen?
Amen.
It's a grievous thing. And yet, God blessed her. Why did he bless her? Not just because he wanted kudos so they could say, oh, what a great God. Well, yeah, he's a great God. But he blessed her because she was faithful in her service to the man of God. So, women, you need to be faithful to your church pastor. Help the pastor's wife. Be faithful in the church. What you think is a little thing is a big thing.
Amen.
And don't give out of your abundance. Go that extra mile for somebody. I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm not doing it for them per se. Yes, they get the benefit of the blessing that I help them, but really I'm doing it for the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a mighty God. And she's not the only woman in the Bible that we study. The Sister Joanna Scabanis has talked about many women. And, you know, there's wonderful women in the Bible, but there's also lots of wicked women in the Bible, too. But there was something about the character of this woman. God could have sent Elijah to any woman, but he chose to send him to this woman.
God knows all.
Very good. There's a lot of knowledge and wisdom in this Old Testament. We take it for granted. Yes, we talk about Martha and Mary. Are you a Martha or are you the Mary? You know, are you cumbered with the cares of this world or do you want to sit at the Lord feet of the Lord? You know, we hear those great preachings and about the women in the book of Acts and Dorcas and all those women. And yet to go back and look at the lives and analyze it, not just read it. That's the problem. We've got into this thing where we just read our Bible every day. You know, we don't really study. Well, I read my chapter. I feel good. You know? I mean, what did you get out of your chapter? Did God talk to your heart, or are you just reading to satisfy the need to read the gospel and say, okay, I did my quota for today? You see, you have to analyze this book. I mean, did you really ever stop to think about, hey, the woman's a widow, and she suffered a loss, and now she's about to suffer another grievous loss. She was still dealing within her heart the loss of her husband somewhere in the past, and her raising her child without a father. And so she suffered those things. But we sit and we read through that like it doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something, and you can learn something about the character of this woman. Where did she get that strength?
She said faith.
Well, she looked at Elijah, and she saw Elijah was a man of God. So there must have been qualities in Elijah's life that she saw. He probably dressed properly, spoke properly, was a Christian, you know, example, even though, you know, he's a Jew. But, hey, Jesus was a Jew. And when I say a Christian example, of course he wasn't a Christian, but he was saved, and he was a man of God. And so those character qualities, be holy, for I am holy, the Lord says, should be exhibited in your life. And you say, well, you know, you got a lot to say about women. Well, I got a lot to say about a lot of things. And the problem is, I got a lot of people that don't want to listen. Most of them already know everything. And I'm not talking about women. I'm talking about everybody, young and old. You have a conversation with somebody today, and before you finish even talking, they're ready to answer you. You know why? They're analyzing what they're going to answer back. They're not even really listening to what you're saying. They're figuring out what they're going to say next. And they call that communication. Here's a woman that took time to listen and said, okay, I'm going to make you this cake. My son and I are dying here. We're starving to death. You're a man of God. I believe you're a man. And maybe she had heard about the prophets of God. Maybe she had heard about how Jezebel married Ahab. And didn't Jesus go to Zidon? People don't know that Jesus left Israel and he went to Zidon. He studied the Bible. He cared enough to go to Zidon. He was ducking out from the masses that were following him, but he went there for a reason. Amen? And so I encourage you tonight, before we wrap this program up, I encourage you to go back and pick one woman out of the Bible and to study that woman, whether it be Jezebel or whether it be, you know, and I'm not talking about just famous women. Go look at Eve. Study Eve. What was her problem? Well, Eve was, you know, she was the mother of all living, right? And Adam had named her. And she had a husband. And they had it made in the shade, as we say, in the garden. Until the fig incident there. And you know what happened? She made some decisions. She got out of line with God. Instead of deferring the decision and discussing it with her husband, it was a major decision. I'm not talking about going buying milk at the grocery store. I'm talking about a major decision. She made that decision on her own without the wisdom of her husband. And had she gone to Adam and had a discussion with him, Adam may have told her, listen, that's not what God told us to do. We're not going to eat of that apple. That's that. In fact, we better go find God and tell him what's going on. Not that God didn't already know. And sometimes God puts tests in your lives. And every trial is not a test by God. But every test can be a trial. And God doesn't put evil in your life to tempt you with evil. But God allows certain things in your life to help you grow. And sometimes you don't know what God's doing in another person's life. You know, the neighbors who saw this widow woman and saw her, and probably maybe, imagine if they were there, and I don't even know, but imagine if they were there and they heard that, hey, she's going to eat, or they got a piece of cake, we don't have much, and we're not giving her any of our stuff, so she's on her own, so she's out there picking up two sticks, and now they heard, listen, this silly woman, she's going to share that with some guy who says he's from God. They're pagans, they don't believe in the same God, and they're laughing at her and scorning her, and you know what, they don't even know what God's about to do in her life. And we do the same thing to each other as Christians. You know, well, why wasn't brother so-and-so here? And why didn't he do this? And why? Hey, listen, worry about you. And let God worry about them. Because maybe, just maybe, God's doing something in their life that you can't see. The old saying is the worst sin the other person can commit is the one you're not committing. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something. You married ladies that are in Christ, that love your husbands. It's a wonderful blessing to be a husband who is loved by a Christian woman. It's a blessing to know that when the world's upside down, my wife loves me. And whether I've caused it or it's just the circumstances of life, it's good to know that I can come home to my wife. And my wife can come home to her husband. And your husband should consider that too. And you need to remember that your husband is not only your husband. He's your brother in Christ, and he's a son of God. He's a child of God. And you should reverence and respect him. And he should remember that you are a sister in Christ and that you are God's child. And if you don't want father-in-law trouble, you better not be messing with God's daughters. You better be treating them right. And you know yourself, moms and dads, that somebody treats your daughter wrong. You know how you feel about it. So how do you think God feels about it when your husbands treat you wrong? Amen?
Amen
to
that.
You know, we're too much in the world today with bobbed hair and bossy wives and wives that want to run and control the home. That's not your position. God has set the position of the wife to submit to her husband. The final decision is his. And God will bless you financially, physically, spiritually, and materially if you'll just allow God to have his way. And the ministry of the home is a responsibility of the husband. And ultimately, he answers to God for whatever happens in that house. But your position is to support him, to help him make good decisions. And husbands shouldn't disregard the wisdom of their wives. You see? And we need to have teachable spirits. There's a lot of women who have a lot to say, but they don't have teachable spirits. They offended by every time somebody tells them something that's true and correct. And their husband tells them they need to make a correction in their life, or this isn't right, or, you know, of God, and I think we should change this, and they become offended by it. And you need to have a teachable spirit. If you don't have a teachable spirit, you need to ask God to give you that teachable spirit, that you would have understanding and knowledge. And this woman, this widow, had a teachable spirit because she was learning some things. And okay, I'm going to teach me how a barrel of oil, how a cruise of oil could turn into a never-ending oil. And how a barrel of meal could never run out. She had a teachable spirit. She was willing to see and wait and learn. And for you wives that do all those things, God bless you. And continue to support your husband. If you're a preacher's wife, well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Being a preacher's wife is a tough deal. Amen?
Amen.
Sister Marilyn and I... you know, I pastor a small church here, but it's in the ministry. There's a lot of things going on. There are women who are sick. There are elderly women. There are younger women. There are women who, you know, I recently had a member of the church fall down and break her arm. She's 60, 70 years old almost, and she's suffering with that. Now they're telling her she may need another operation. And so, you know, that's traumatic to a woman of that age. That's not easy. You know, when you're young, you can heal and you can do anything. But when you're older, it takes more time. Mm-hmm. And then in the small church that we have, and I say small because it is a small church right now, but it's growing. And God's blessing it, and God's blessing the people that are in there. But there's a, every problem that's in a big church is in a little church. And so, you know, and so as a pastor, I look to the ladies in the church who have been saved to be the leaders for the other women in the church, for the young women in the church, and for young men in the church, to lead them also, so they could see how a Christian woman should behave and should dress and should look. Amen? I mean, it's just common courtesy and respect for each other and love. But most of all, you do it because you love the Lord. And if you love the Lord first, you'll love your husband second. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll have a happy home. But if Christ isn't the foundation of your home, and money is, and material goods and automobiles and diamond rings and jewelry and keeping up with the Joneses. And, hey, I don't want to keep up with the Joneses. I look where I live. I don't want to be like the Joneses. Some of the people are unsaved.
Amen to that.
And, you know, if God blesses me, amen. And if he doesn't, he doesn't. But I thank him for the blessings I have received. I don't take them for granted, amen? God wants to bless you, sister. God wants to reach out and touch your heart. And gossip, God does not like gossip. Timothy talks about it. Women become tale bearers, running table bearers, story to story from each other. Call each other. Encourage each other in the Word of God. Not in gossip. And don't use that excuse. Well, you know, the reason why I go up, you know, sometimes people come to me and they tell me stuff. Do you hear about Brother So-and-so do this? I say, whoa. Why are you telling me this? Oh, well, because I just, well, you know, we need to pray for him. Well, that isn't why you really came to tell me. You wanted to gossip about somebody. You wanted to talk about it. Amen? And sisters, if a sister's offended you, the Bible says you go to that sister, if you're the one that's offended, and tell her you're offended. And then you go back with two or more. And then if they don't receive it, you go to the pastor and bring your witnesses and let the church deal with it. Don't hold grudges against one another. Encourage each other. Listen to the man of God in your life. He'll bless you. God will bless you through that. We watched a lot of women grow over the years in churches, and it's amazing what God can do. And never mind that teenager who's telling you they don't want to go to church. Listen, until you're 18, you're not allowed to make that decision anyway. You go to church, and you dress properly, and you behave properly, and you honor your mother and father. You hear me, young ladies? You honor your mother and fathers in that church. They know something you don't. Parents using excuses. Well, we couldn't go to church because Johnny passed gas. You know, cut it out. You wouldn't miss a meal. You want to miss church. Why are you going to miss a spiritual meal? Amen? Well, I want to thank you. Thank you for sharing this time with me tonight. And Marilyn, Marilyn's here. She's kind of looking out at me out of the side of her head. No, I'm just fooling. She said, I didn't know he knew that. No. And what do you think, Marilyn?
I think the more we read our Bible, the closer our walk is with the Lord, the easier it is to step away from the worldly things that can bring us down. And the more that we spend time in the Bible and we ask and pray with the Lord and thank him for our blessings, the more blessings we get. Just doing little things for people, just saying thank you or we appreciate you, goes a long way. I know in my job on it every day with helping veterans, some of them you don't get enough for them, but some of them I'm able to help. And just that little help of guiding them along seems to go a long way. And I feel that I've blessed them especially when they tell me, thank you, we appreciate you. And sometimes it's all a person needs, or a smile. It's a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of help along the way, and it will go a long way. And sometimes you just say, here, I'm going to help you out, pass it on to somebody else.
You know, one day I was sitting on in a prison day room next to a prisoner, and he was a grown man, and he looked very solemn, and he was sitting there, and I turned around and I said, you know, I love you, brother. And that man started to cry. He started to weep. He needed to hear it from somebody, that somebody loved him.
Uh-huh.
In that dark place, the destitute, that concrete and steel jungle. And just somebody loved him. Have you reached out to somebody? Why don't you call somebody tonight and say, hey, I love you.
Or write a card. Sometimes when I was deployed for 6 months at a time, especially around the holidays, different groups would send cards. They wouldn't even know who you are, but they would send a card of encouragement and tell people that they loved them and they appreciated us serving our country. So just little things make a big difference in a person's life.
Amen. That's good, honey. That's good. Well, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. We're sorry that Sister Joanna could not be here with her lesson. I know she had a magnificent lesson. When it comes to teaching of women in the Bible, I pale to that, to her teaching. She studied these things, these women in detail, and it's helped her greatly in her life. And Marilyn has also. And so we're kind of missing Sister Joanna tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to check and make sure she's okay, and we'll get her back on next month for you ladies. This coming Thursday, I'm doing a special teaching for a wonderful woman who's having a problem with heaven. And she called me. I was shopping in a Home Depot at 9 o'clock in the morning, and she called me and we had a discussion, and I said, I'm going to pray about this, and next Thursday I'm going to teach about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you whatever I can tell you about heaven and help you to understand what is heaven. It's not just a place that's beyond the clouds. Amen. It has a location, and the Bible says it has a location. And I'm going to give you the location of heaven. But I think most of you already know. But there's an actual location. And so we'll think about that for the week.
Mm.
But ladies, God bless you. And please stay strong in the Lord. Keep your knees on the floor. Nose in the Bible, eyes on Jesus Christ, and be that Christian example that glorifies the Lord this week. And we'll be talking to you again. Hope you tune in next Thursday and see what we have to say about heaven. The question came from a woman who's of age, and now she's coming towards that place in her life where she's starting to think about eternity. And she's got some problems about getting to heaven. Not that she doesn't know she's not going there. She's saved and she's sure she's going, but she has some problems with heaven. And so it came to my heart that maybe there are some other people that are having the same problem with heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So let's have a prayer. And we're going to get out of this program for the evening. We thank you, ladies, for joining us. Really, I thank you for allowing me to bring forth this lesson tonight to you. It's an honor and a privilege to serve you in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have my wife beside me. Father God, we bow down before you, separated from these listeners by distance, but not by spirit, the Holy Spirit. And I ask you, God, that you would bless each and every woman that heard this program or will hear this program, young and old, Lord. Lord, that they would glorify you, that they would be gracious in their walk and in their speech, in their dress, that they would exemplify what a Christian woman is, that they would have piety at home first and then in their churches and in their lives and in the public and in the community, that, Lord, they would glorify you. They would glorify your name in the world, Lord, and that people would see these women and know that God is a holy God and these are holy women who love the Lord. and that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was not taken for granted. We appreciate it, and we love you, and we show our love by our obedience. And we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Ventura. We really appreciate you being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you, Sister Mary.
And Brother Nathan, we appreciate you allowing us the time on the spot also. And you're in our prayers, and prayers for all those women that are dealing with situations. Amen.
All right, Brother Nathan, we're turning this over to you.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. My heart's testing. with your light.